Welcome to the HexPod, an arcane League of Legends podcast dedicated to review each and every episode every week. My name's Nick.
I'm Michelle.
This week we're coming hot off the watch of episode 6, named
When These Walls Come Tumbling Down.
Our walls or their walls?
The walls we've all built. Their walls.
We've never built shit. Not our walls. We bought this house.
Emotional walls?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe. Maybe Victor's fucking mutant's walls. I don't know. But all right. So coming, we have a couple corrections here. First, we're going to get to the either this is hilariously embarrassing. I don't know what it is. Okay. So Vi's tattoo on her face. We have been informed through you fellow listeners that is not a six. That is her name. Which, I don't know how we missed that. Like, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. But apparently that's her name. I don't know. It's written, like, you're still like, are you sure it's her name? Because it's written as Roman numerals.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's like a play on symbols. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I if it is her name, fine. Cool.
Should I get a face tattoo with my name on it?
Well, so it would be whatever. Okay, so if we did, Roman numerals is letter, whatever M is in the thing. So if it was like letter like 16, I don't know what it is, but 16 or 17. So you get, would each letter be a number and you have a full thing of Roman numerals across your face?
I don't know about that.
Across your forehead? What does that mean? That's my fucking name. All right. So also, which you didn't pick up, but when I edit this thing, I listen to this. I got to listen to this thing. Yeah. And I kept saying on my little fucking Gandalf rant, I kept saying when he was being manipulated in Lord of the Rings, I kept saying Grey Worm. Grey Worm's a dude from fucking Game of Thrones. He's not, it's Worm Tongue is the guy from Lord of the Rings, not Grey Worm.
Let's just stick to one series at a time then, so we don't get...
Hey, no. You got to compare shit so people, everyone can follow you on your line of thinking here. Okay. So, okay. Also, I think we're going to be doing a season finale, wrap-up cast of predictions for season 2, everything that we know so far. Also, we're going to need everyone's... people that listen, if you can email us and let us know what you guys think is going to be happening in season 2, because I have my own thought. I mean, I don't know. I've kind of thought about it. I mean, I know what happens at the end, but what's going to happen, I don't know. Maybe there's some leaked information. I'm going to look into that. Everything we know, I'm going to be looking into it. We're going to be talking about it, but I would love for people that listen to the podcast to email us at arcanepod@gmail.com. Let us know what you think is going to happen, any theories, predictions, all that good stuff. Like I said, we will be doing a season wrap-up when this is all over, and just get those in so we can start piling them together. Get it in. Get it in. So, all right. So, episode 6, what'd you think? Apparently, it was season finale of act. Did it feel like a season finale? Or not season, or an act finale? It wasn't nearly as explosive as episode 3.
No. I mean, I guess it's...
Talk more than Mike.
I guess the big part is... what a bittersweet reunion at the end.
But mm-hmm.
Other than that, there's like one kind of action scene.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was I guess it wasn't. When we got to this part, I wasn't paying attention to what episode was episode. We were just plowing right through them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of like, I guess it kind of felt like a finale, sort of. Like the end, just the end did. But yeah, this episode was pretty good. I don't think it's any really better or worse or than the other episodes, but it's kind of along the same lines. Maybe kind of
filled in with the same.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you get a little bit more. I guess it does paint a picture of Vic. You find out a lot more about Victor this episode, which is good. He's an interesting fella. And yeah. Nothing really insightful as far as general thoughts. Let's hop right into it. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Let's do it.
Starts off with a infamous flashback.
Yep.
Young Victor.
What country is he from? What's that accent from?
apparently he's from Zahn, so I don't know.
Well, I'm not talking like, I'm not talking an accent within the show itself. I'm talking an accent in our world.
It sounds to me, if I had to guess, I'd say maybe Russian.
That's what I thought, but then I heard somebody said it was some type of Spanish or Hispanic accent. On Reddit was saying that. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Yeah, I suck at these things. Picking out, yeah, you know, who knows? But anyways, so we start off the show. We start off the episode with kids up. There's a bunch of kids playing in the lake. Young Victor is playing with the boat as Sky, young Sky is watching Victor and she runs away. Victor launches his boat into the river and it goes into a cave, which he finds a scientist and a little mutant called Rio. The scientist does let Victor know that the mutant is dying. He's trying to save it, and Victor does become his assistant. So, what do you think about that opener?
Well, I'll say we find out. The first thing I noticed, like, about this scene, and I don't know if maybe, it looked a lot cleaner.
Mm.
Like the water they were swimming in and Zahn, I don't know, it just looked, the Undercity, it just looked a lot more cleaner than it does now, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. He is from the, that wasn't Piltover, that was Zahn, wasn't it?
So then Sky is from there too?
Yeah, must be. I don't know how she could, because she's in the academy.
They do cross over. I don't know why, I don't know. I mean, I guess not everybody wants to, I guess, and then also the boat, the scientist that he meets, he asks, you know, Victor, did you build this boat?
Yeah.
And he says, yes. So he's already.
Oh, intrigued that he's an engineer of some type. Engineer
as we at that young age. And he's, I don't want to say sickly at that age, but he's definitely crippled.
Yeah.
He's got a brace on his leg and he's walking with a cane and he's not running very well, but.
Yeah, he trips and falls, yeah. Yeah, and this kind of, this scientist, which they don't say his name, I don't even know if they say his name, his whole thing, but in the game, his name is Singed. Singe, S-I-N-G-E. Yeah, that's his name. But, and he's trying to do some experiment for this little, what is that mutant? He's named Rio, and I don't know. He says he's sick. You can't really tell, but other than what he says, but... Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to save him with the what she's developing. Is he the OG developer of Shimmer?
That's what I read. Yeah. I didn't really get that from the episode, but when I was reading things, that's what I read.
Oh,
and
really?
I don't know if it has to do with that mutation or the creature, I guess. They kept on calling it the mutation in the show.
So. Yeah. Yeah. This is kind of getting Victor's academic career off the ground is just from this guy. So good start to get a little insight on Victor's life. So, well, it does transition to older Victor talking to Heimer, talking about death, talking about Heimer being the founder of Piltover, and Heimer just says, "Yeah, our brightest seem to burn out the fastest," which you can interpret that different ways. I think, maybe people kill themselves in school, basically trying to excel, and they just burn themselves out. I mean, I don't think it necessarily has to mean like Victor's problem. He's dying. I don't think everyone just dies in the academy when they're learning. But I think, you're going to schooling 8 hours a day, and then you're studying all, you're working all outside, you're working in school and outside of school. It can just kind of burn you out. And I think that's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. But, they're talking about death. Heimer's 307 years old.
And Heimerdinger was talking about how he discovered Victor too. And then he starts talking about all that he's built. And it just made me wonder, because what, they're kind of like on the side of like a dam or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made me wonder if like maybe Victor was behind like the building of all that. So maybe like, I don't know if that's why like Victor is so interested in Jace, because maybe Victor's responsible for a lot of the older innovation in Piltover.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And then, so I don't know. They didn't really say that outward, but it just made me think that maybe that's the way they're talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, they really imply that Victor is really insanely smart. But he, I mean, he spends his whole time. Oh, we did find out the name of that little majigger thing he's working on, the Hex Core.
Hex Core.
Yeah. But he's like working on that thing the whole time. And yeah, the show is definitely implying that Victor what is it called? When you're the smartest in the class, valedictorian. He's like one of them guys. I don't know those guys. That wasn't one of them. So, okay, we move on to the next scene. We find out Mel is painting a picture. Jace is watching, and he starts apologizing to her for leaving her that night when Victor got sick. And he informs, Jace informs Mel about Victor being sick, and that he wishes that he can start getting the hex to start solving real issues, not just for trade. And then Mel informs him that she was exiled from her family. So.
And she was painting pictures of sailboats.
Yeah. Was there an underlying meaning to that? Or was it
I think that has something to do with like her family, but I don't know if we know that yet.
But. We don't know that yet, but come to find out her family does sail these. But they sail fucking boats everywhere. There's boats in Piltover flying around the city. I don't know.
She just likes boats.
Yeah, maybe she just likes boats. I don't know. But what was the point of Mel telling Jace that she was exiled from her family? What did that have to do with what Jace was talking about?
Well, she kind of said something about something along the lines of like, we all have, issues in our lives that we have to go through, but basically we don't have to go through them alone. I think she's just trying to sympathize with him that he's going through something, but I've been through something too, but I'm here for you.
See, and this is why I'm a stark defender of Jace, because Jace gets... All right, so I find most of my... I don't know if there's other forums, but I have to read Reddit a lot to try to get takes, and there's a lot of hate of Jace on Reddit for some reason. Like, people just do not like him. What am I missing? This dude, like, he clearly... And he says it in private to people that he cares about, not in front of the council, not in front of... He's not trying to make a public speech about it. He's saying, we need to start doing shit other than trying to make money off of this. We need to actually start solving real issues for real people. What is not to like about that? Is there something wrong with that? Like, I'm not understanding.
I don't know. Like later in the episode, I'm not really a huge fan of Jace's, but I mean, it comes and goes. Cause I guess to me, I don't want to say this, but like, he doesn't really seem like he knows what he's doing, which is not necessarily an unlikable thing, but it just seems like he doesn't really have a big plan. And every time something happens, his plan just changes to go.
He's very reactionary.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Well, I mean, some of these decisions are pretty difficult decisions. But, I mean, I still think, though, the underlying thing that he wants to do is good. Like, he doesn't have, like, some malicious motives or anything. It doesn't seem that way.
Right.
He's not fucking race. Jinx trying to mass murder everybody. For some reason, everyone likes her.
He's not trying to do illegal trades. Like,
yeah.
Like the council members and...
Exactly. So, I don't know. I don't know. I'm on Team Jace, but okay. that's just me. That's just
I'm
me.
Indifferent.
Indifferent. Okay. All right. Now we just shoot over to Victor. He does look upon the hex room. Hex. What was it called? Hex.
Hex core.
And just blood enters it, and he starts to get a vision. There wasn't really much that happened here, other than that. It was about 30 seconds. It's just showing that he's still working on the core, and is still like you said last episode, he's obsessed about figuring this out. So, Jinx, enters the last drop, and starts to question the bartender, which is, we come to find out the bartender is named Chuck.
Chuck. Well, Chuck. That's every bartender should be named Chuck.
I agree. I guess what do we have to say about this?
What'd she's trying to get she's trying to get information. Mm-hmm. What Silco? Because I think she can tell that Silco's up to something, and she's not in on it because she's not allowed to know. So she gets out of Chuck that Silco is sending out a team for some girls who beat up Silvika. And yeah, Jinx gets what she wants. So she kind of, she doesn't blow him up, but she plays a trick that she's going to blow him up. And
yeah, she throws the bomb at it, the purple smoke.
Like paintball, yeah. Paintball.
Yeah, she's gotten pretty good with those things. all right. Yeah, the whole Jinx thing with like this shit is just, I don't know. It's like, it just kind of, I guess this is why people like her. She just kind of says like these quippy lines that are played for comedy. So I guess, I don't know. Still think she sucks. I don't know. Okay. Anyways, Wounded Vi and Caitlin are escaping the Zahn goons. Vi tries to jump down, do the parkour down Zahn, but she ends up falling down. And yeah, she's basically just can barely make it through this. Her and Caitlin are having a lot of problems getting away because Vi got stabbed in the gut from Silvika. So,
and the somebody from the Firelights is watching.
That's what I wrote down.
That's, you can read your writing.
I couldn't read my writing again. I was like, I wrote one more line, but I don't know what it says. But yeah, so one of the Firelights looks upon them as they're trying to escape. Yeah, I guess this is kind of emphasizes that Vi's really, she's really fucked up. She can barely walk, barely stand, and she's going to need help pretty fast. So anything else? No. Was that about a hit? All right. So, Silvika goes and enters Silco's chambers. Jinx is actually the one inside. Jinx actually launches one of her bombs, which detonates and Silvika passes out. When Silvika wakes up, she's tied up and Jinx starts questioning her. And Silvika lets her know that Vi is still alive.
Yep. She doesn't question her very long. Silvika is pretty eager to actually, I think she wants Jinx to know, because like she says, she wants Jinx to kind of implode or come unhinged so Silco can see how much of a, too much of a wild card she is and how destructive she can be to their plan, whatever.
Yeah, right. I mean, this, like, I would say even last episode, we start to see that Jinx is starting to question but some of the stuff that, like, Silco's been trying to get and, like, her loyalty, if it's still with Vi or not. Mm-hmm. And I think this is kind of, I guess, like, her with, like, the bartender and her questioning Silvika, she's just, clearly she wants to reconnect with her sister. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, she kind of has a reason not to trust him. He is keeping shit from her, so.
Yeah, and Silvika is just kind of taunting her with, like, you know, your sister's still alive. She's with an enforcer. And just knows it's going to get her rattled up, so. I don't know. So, yeah, she, I remember when we first watched this. This was pretty tense. When it shows Marcus coming home and he finds Silco in his daughter's room and they're playing with some toys. Silco lets Marcus know that Vi is out and alive and she's with Caitlin, and Silco wants Vi tracked down from Marcus. And Silco is basically just he's flexing here in front of Marcus's kid. It's, I mean, not literally flexing, but he's just, that would be kind of funny. His little scrawny arms. He's fucking power showing off. But anyways, Silco's just letting Marcus know that, you know, I can waste your daughter anytime I want to.
Or him. I thought it was more towards like him, like, because he kind of made the comment to his daughter, you wouldn't want to be away from your daddy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's kind of like saying, kind of reminding him of what you have to lose. Silco does make a comment, to Marcus about how he was supposed to take care of a Vi. And so I think he was supposed to do more than just lock her up. but he did. He just locked her up.
And she got out. Yeah, you talked about that last week. If he was supposed to kill her or not.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, Silco kind of was under the assumption that she was already dead.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't know that she was alive and locked up somewhere. So So I think Silco's already a little TO'd with Marcus at this point, too. And this is why he's probably making this grand show in front of his daughter in the first place.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's like you said, mistakes can be made, but just don't make it again. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, Marcus is, he's a piece of shit, but he's not so much of a piece of shit to kill her. I guess he threw in his, throwing you in a dungeon cell for 7 years and having you beat up is pretty bad.
Well, and like I said, when he made these deals originally with Silco, he didn't have, you know, it's what, 7 years ago?
Right.
You can change your mind in 7 years. That doesn't mean you can change your circumstances of what the things you've done, but you can.
Yeah, right. Okay, so Victor and Jace are working with the Hex Corps, and Victor is showing Jace that the Hex Corps does respond to organic matter, but it is rejecting all mutations. And Jace is trying to encourage him to keep trying to work at it. So I guess we're seeing Victor's trying to find a cure for himself. But he can't just kind of close the deal on getting it to come to completion. Yeah. And Jace, I like this scene because, again, I think I've said every week, it shows Jace's friendship with Victor and showing how much he cares about him.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, we got to fucking figure this out no matter what it takes.
Right. Because, like, before we didn't really know that Jace knew that Hector was working so hard on this because he wanted to help save himself. But then as soon as he finds out, like, oh, yeah, it can save you.
Yeah,
let's
right.
Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it generally shows that, Jace does care for Victor and, you know, they're buds. They're buds. They're homies. So, all right. So let's see. Where are we going from here? Okay, this is when Vi and Caitlin are kind of roaming the streets of Zaun, and they start to see that, like, there's the big, you can kind of see the drug problem on the streets. They do enter Vi's old hangout. Vi is still kind of telling Caitlin she is unsure about her, and they kind of come to the conclusion they don't really understand each other from their different walks of life.
And when they're doing this, Vi is kind of having, like, flashbacks of, like, powder and graffiti, and I don't know at this point, we don't really know if it's like because she's losing a lot of blood,
right? Well, it's like hallucinations or something,
right? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Or what it or the area or whatnot, but
yeah, the well, you know, this kind of says a lot about the difference between, I mean, Vi has. I don't know if Caitlin knows the whole story, but Vi does have good reasons not to trust people from Piltover.
And enforcers who specifically stuck her in
enforcers.
Jail.
Yeah, specifically enforcers, right. That, you know, you'll never understand us. And, you know, it says a lot about, you know, society, our society. People just don't understand each other. People from the city, people understand from rural areas. They fight. You know, I see this shit on a daily basis because I drive a truck and I go to a lot of farms, and a lot of these farmers just don't. They do not understand people from the city. They talk shit about people from the city all the time. I have to listen to it every day. And, you know, it's a very cultural different way of life. And it's, that's basically what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, I don't know if you said that, but in the scene, we can kind of see, I call them fiends, kind of dark cloth people kind of lurking around.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then Vi makes the assumption that she's like, oh, Caitlin makes the comment like, who are these people? And Vi says, these people you don't want to see, you close your eyes to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like exactly. The drug problem, the homeless problem. You just tuck it away. Don't think about it. For all the rich folks, they don't want to deal with it. And you know, at this point, especially with the undercity, there's probably no easy answer how to fix these problems, but again, with Piltover trying to fix these problems, it's like Piltover, it's almost, it's like they want to take first world solutions and to apply it to third world problems. Mm-hmm. Like first world solutions don't necessarily fix third world problems. You know, as far as like drug issues or homeless issues, it's, you know, you have to tackle these things in a way different manner than you tackle issues that happen in Piltover.
Right.
And, you know, I think Vi seems like she understands, like, you know, your fucking way of solving things is not going to work down here. And, you know, she's probably right. She's probably right. Having to force her, well, like you said, they didn't, like when Vander was in charge, there was a shimmer, there wasn't a shimmer problem. Enforcers were down there. They may not have liked enforcers down there, but at least the streets weren't flooded with drugs.
Right.
So is that better?
I would think so.
I would think so too. Okay, good. I would think so too. But like, I guess, would the people of Zaun think that? Like, would you be like, okay, if the enforcers were roaming the streets here, like, they fucking hate the enforcers.
Right.
But when the enforcers were there, it was better, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if it was better because they were there.
Or if Vander was in charge?
Yeah.
Maybe it was probably a combination of both. Well, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, if you took... You know, when you go to the fucking super high crime areas of anywhere in cities, you just dump a shitload of cops down there. Does that fix problems? I don't know. I don't think so, does it?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know, but...
I have no idea either.
But I don't know. I think that just when Vander was there, that it was more... I don't want to say, like, more community-ish.
Yeah.
More they watched out for each other. But then when you add... You know, like, you know, drugs into the situation, people are more for looking out for themselves or how they're going to get some more drugs or make some more money. Or I don't know. Maybe I'm naive about it too, but.
No, you're probably right. Yeah. I would. Yeah. So let's say, okay. So we have to imagine if Marcus and all down there were coming down there to get a name nowadays, would people just give it up?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
You think they'd still fucking have each other's back like they did back in the day?
Oh, not like, no, I don't think they'd have each other's back in that way, but I think the enforcers would have trouble talking to anyone.
What I'm saying is that when they went down there asking people before, when Vander was alive, for give us a name, and that guy was like spitting on their shoe and like, fuck you, we ain't telling you nothing. Would they still be that way if they came down there in present time to start finding people, or people give up, like, oh, leave me alone. It's fucking Joe down the street. He's the bad one you want.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I guess the way I think about it is they still just hate the enforcers that much that they would just.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily like a loyalty thing to the other person. It's more of a loyal hate towards enforcers.
Right. We hate the cops more type of thing than we hate each other. Right. Yeah. It probably sounds about right. Okay, so where were we? Okay, Victor is showing the hex core to Heimer. Heimer gets a vision of the past, which, again, we don't...
Same vision as before, basically, isn't
fucking,
it?
Yeah.
It doesn't really tell us anything.
Doesn't say shit. And like,
it's red and fiery
this
and
is
not good, I guess.
One of the critiques I have of the season. I understand that you don't have to tell, the show don't tell on certain things, but this is so ambiguous. Like, what the fuck is, are they showing? There's just some red painting with like a light or something coming in the background.
I don't even say, I want to say a guy, but a being floating up.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, like, exactly.
I don't know. Like, I understand the way, I mean, the only way we know what that is because it's the way that Heimer's talking. Like, it was like a war or a battle or something, or I guess. I don't know.
Maybe fear in his eyes.
Maybe that was an old arcane mage that went rogue or something. I don't know. But he wants the hex core destroyed, and Jace refuses to have it destroyed and wants to have a council meeting about it. So.
Who calls the council meeting?
I would guess Jace, probably, right? Okay. I'm
just curious. It'd be funny if Hyman Dinger was the one who called the meeting.
It was his dog did. fucking thing.
I don't know what it is. It's like a goat dog.
Yeah, I know. That's funny.
A little furball.
Yeah.
It's furball. That's what it's called.
Yeah. So.
And then Victor goes off to find his friend to help him. That's what I have written down.
Did he?
Yeah. He says something in the end like, I know somebody who can help.
Or, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. He's talking about Singed then, mm-hmm. the scientist guy. Yeah, it's, you know, I guess we kind of already said what we thought about it, but Hymer was clearly against this hex core. And again, he doesn't say why.
I mean, I do think it has to probably do with, you know, like actually using the hex core or hex gem or hex magic, I should say, on people. Like, I mean, that's, I don't know if guessing, but I mean,
yeah.
He doesn't, that's obviously what probably went wrong in the past. And I'm assuming this person who's floating up probably has some synthetic hex magic in him. And that's why he's.
Some arcane.
Yeah, some arcane in him.
But this was my critique the first time we watched this, is that this shit is just, with Hymer, is not, I mean, it's, this is extremely pivotal. I think a problem, or not a problem, but a plot point in the show that needs to be just, like, they don't explain it at all. Like,
I'm kind of having a thought. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
But I don't know. It kind of runs in with the next couple scenes, though. So I don't know how far you want me to go. But because when they go to Caitlin,
mm-hmm.
She's looking for help for Vi, and they meet an old friend.
Yep.
And he's very disformed, his like brains coming out.
Yeah.
And she kind of asks him, you know, like, why would you do this to yourself? Like the shimmer, why would you do this? And he doesn't really quite explain himself, but he says it has something to do with, he wants to feel the power of people being frightened of him.
Yeah.
So is that maybe the same way with the arcane? Is that why people in the past, that like the same thing like happens with the shimmer, they get kind of like this angry and then they get addicted to that feeling? Is that what kind of happens with the arcane too? Once it gets into people, they get this freaking power trip.
Yeah.
And then they get like addicted to it, and then maybe it starts to mess with their brain, their bodies.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. But the thing is, we saw the arcane mage come out and save Jason, his mom.
Maybe his was real.
What? Who, like, wasn't real?
The guy who came out and saved Jace. Maybe his arcane was real. Because some people, mentioned that people were naturally born with it. Which is why aren't they naturally born with it now anymore? That's curious.
Or we just haven't seen anybody that has it. Maybe there's somebody out in some off distant land that has it. We just haven't seen it.
Maybe.
Yeah, there's some, like, the thing is like, there's some cool, in the game, there is some people they can bring in that would be pretty fucking rad about, that could, like, they could just have natural arcane, and they could probably mix it in there pretty well, which I'm hoping they do in season two. I don't know. I guess we'll see where it goes. But yeah, the I mean, I guess, yeah, we'll just kind of ducktail into this next scene, because you kind of fired into it, about Caitlin finds that old friend, which, if you remember, this is the guy from the episode one in the last drop, when Vander's, there's kind of like a deal gone wrong, and Vander sits down and kind of sets the deal straight. This was one of the guys that was part of that deal, and he was kind of too weak to, yeah, because I guess this just kind of sets it up. He was kind of too weak. Those guys were about to shortchange him.
Right.
And he was like, you know, what the hell is he going to do? He's right. A small little dude. And that's why he takes the shimmer. He's like, I don't want to be fucking taken advantage of all the time, and this kind of gives me a little bit of power.
Wants to be, people to be frightened of him.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's kind of, how can you blame a guy? How can you blame him? You know, I mean, it's, I get it, man. I get it. So it's, you know, it's why people do drugs. It's why, you know, to cover up your problems.
Or feel something different than what you are.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, and when Caitlin, they do find, she's trying to, She goes to a dealer. The friend takes Caitlin to a dealer, and she has to make a trade for her gun for this for the shimmer potion to go ahead and help to give it to Vi to help her heal herself. Caitlin giving up her gun was a pretty big deal, especially down in that fucking shithole.
Right.
So, that's pretty big sacrifice. But Caitlin's a good gal. She's a good girl. So, and the friend, doesn't want Vi to see him anymore because he's all strung out. Big purple brain popping out. That's what she should have fucking done. This is how smart I am. The big old purple fucking thing coming out of my head. It's all brain, baby. It's all brain. The scene does kind of set the tone for what it's like down there. For as far as like the shimmer, people getting addicted to it now, it's kind of a big problem down there. And it really does set the stage real well. And basically it's no good down there. It sucks. So, all right. So, Marcus gives the bomb to Jace, says it's from the firelights, and Marcus suggests closing the bridge down and starting to search everyone trying to cross the bridge. And Jace agrees.
And that's what I was thinking. So the basically is open, but just people from both sides just don't like to mix, I guess, that much. And
yeah, I mean, it sounds like it was kind of like the, pre-9/11, those like the Mexican American border. You can just walk back and forth.
Right.
And now it's
closed borders.
Yeah, exactly. Closed borders.
Closed borders.
And they're going to. And they're gonna start. They're gonna start a. They don't get into it now, but I mean, they were like, you can. It starts to cause some problems later in the show, but it's setting up the firelights. He's kind of, Marcus is framing the firelights for all the problems. The enforcer's getting blown up in the earlier episode, and Jace just
close it down,
shut this shit down. So, all right. Now we move over to the council meeting.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dum, bum, bum, ba-dum, ba-dum, bum. Heimer is talking about the greed of the Hextech. Jace talks about the shimmer problem down in Zahn. Jace tells the council that it's time for a new leadership, and they vote Heimer out of the council.
I say they did make a comment. Jace, when he makes a speech. Jace makes a comment that there is a shimmer problem at the academy too. So it is in Piltover. I know you've asked that before.
He said
there's I can't remember. He named three different places. He talked about Zahn. He talked about, I think, some, and but he definitely said that at the academy too.
Oh, it's creeping into Piltover.
Yep. Yeah. Mm. And Jace was blaming that on, well, not blaming it on Heimerdinger, but just saying it's under his rule that that's happening. So
interesting, because these problems are like, are these problems no matter who's in, will these problems happen no matter who's in charge? Like, let's say if fucking Caitlin's mom was in charge of the council, would this stuff still happen? Like, because there's certain things, you kind of have to take this in relation to what the current political climate with our presidents. Presidents get a lot of blame for shit, rightfully so and wrongfully so. There's things they can and can't change. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things they'll get blamed for that they really have no control over. Is this the same with the shimmer entering the academy? Do you think? What could have Heimer done differently?
I guess because maybe Heimerdinger is kind of in control of the
security.
The academy, maybe, section of it, because he's involved with that. But I mean, it's a 7-person council. They're all supposed to be equal. So it's like they're basically all equal for them. I mean, not Jace, because he just got in there. But you know what I mean? Like everybody else. But then, I mean, like the other council members are doing illegal trades of their own.
Yeah.
And Heimerdinger's like I said, when they were at like the opera show, everyone was making deals behind, and he's just sitting in the audience oblivious. Clapping. Basically. And I don't know if that's maybe just because he's too trusting as a person and believes that everybody's doing the right thing. But I really just almost thought that this scene was really just Jace is like, I'm going to get you before you get me, which in a way makes Jace kind of unlikable because he knows that Heimerdinger is going to try to chop down this hex core because he doesn't believe it. So Jace is like, well, let's get him out of here.
I don't like you trying to make points against my boy. I don't like that. I can see that argument. I would. Again, my problem is Heimer never defends his point ever very well. He's just like, we shouldn't be doing this. Like, well, okay. Like, fucking, this got to, you got to make a point here about it.
I think always his point is I'm 300 years old and I know better.
Yeah, exactly. That's his whole argument. And it's just like, that's a shit argument, man. Like, who's going to, nobody's going to take you seriously after a while. And they clearly don't. They vote him out of the council. And that's the thing. Like, I don't know why. I guess maybe that's the problem is if he's able to better articulate his stance, maybe they, and I guess there wouldn't be a show. I mean, like the point is like, yeah, him kicking out to move the plot forward. But I don't know. I just wish I would know his reasonings a little bit better than what we do. But I guess we got what we got. So, but yeah, Jace is given the boot, and that's that. So Caitlin, go move on to the next scene. Caitlin gets Vi the shimmer potion.
She's a little shimmer fix.
She gets a shimmer fix. Caitlin finds out that Vi used to live there and ask about powder because she sees like the little markings on the room about powder. Vi lets her know that her parents were killed by enforcers. Then Vi gets up and sees Silco giving out shimmer outside on the streets as they're talking, and the shimmer monsters are about to attack Vi. She pounds on this giant sign and knocks it down onto the monsters and Silco. Jinx pulls the flare. Vi and Caitlin try to get away. And this also shows the enforcers setting them on the bridge for the search party. And Vi does end up seeing Jinx's flare. Okay. Big scene. Big scene.
So, but I got the impression that Silco was using the shimmer and the fiends to find Vi.
Yeah. It seemed like it was kind of like, come and get it. And here on the street, come and get it, boys. And
which to me means that Silco has no empathy for these people either.
No, he doesn't give a shit about these people. No. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the guy's fucking, he's a piece of shit, basically. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't, I mean, what is he? Yeah, I mean, these people are expendable to him, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I almost think everybody's expendable to him.
Well, when that sign falls, he's kicking something. Is he kicking one of those guys?
Yeah, he's kicking one of those guys. I think he even beats up one of you told me you thought his name was from the game, who was in there with the daughter, Marcus's daughter. He went down there with him, and he looked like he was beating the crap out of him, and then he was kicking one of the fiends who had the building fall on him. Yeah, he's going fucking crazy.
Way to get loyalty, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, so, I mean, this is when we see, you know, Jinx from, episode 3. Vi gave Powder Jinx the flare. Told her if you ever pulled, I'll show up. And yeah, see her pulled. It's kind of a, I don't know, it's like a little montage of it going back and forth between the bridge and the flare. And, what notes do you got? Help me out. I don't really have a lot to say about this because
it's just an interesting visual scene.
Right.
You know, going back and forth about the, what I don't know about the, what I want to say. I don't know. The build up.
Mm-hmm.
The music.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, they see, you know, the old markings that Vi used to live there. I don't know. Yeah, I guess there's not really a lot to say about this.
I don't know if you said that, but Vi admits to Caitlin that she has a sister, that Powder is her sister.
Sure, yeah.
And that she is trying to find her because she doesn't know if she's alive. And Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Caitlin makes a stupid comment. How do you know if she's not alive? And she's like, I've been in prison for 7 years. Yeah, right. She hasn't wrote, so no. No one's come to visit me, so I don't know.
Exactly, yeah. So young Victor, it shows that there's a flashback of young Victor finding the mutant sick. Then old Victor walks into his scientist Singe's lab experiment office thing. So I guess this is showing that Victor is, he wants to get the sex core figured out. You know, was Singed, who is the scientist, did he have Rio in that big bubbling thing in front of him? Is that what he was looking at?
No. Yes. Wait, with the older Victor. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Is that what he was in there?
Yeah. So he's still.
Still alive?
So, yeah. So like this mutation is, I don't know if this is where he's getting all the energy from and he's just. I want to say he's draining it, but he's not draining it because you think he'd be dead by now, but
I don't know. All right. So, Silco enters his office and he finds Silvika all tied up with liar written on her and Jinx's kind of neon paints. Silco now knows Jinx is up to something. She's up to no good, actually. She's going to go find her sister is what she's up to. So, all right, we're going to go and get to the end of this episode. The final climax. Let me see if I can read all this. Okay, Jinx is holding the flare up. As she's holding the flare up and it starts to die down, Vi does show up and gives her a hug and starts calling her powder. They talk about change. They talk about being together. That's when Caitlin shows up and Jinx is not happy about it and the Force is showing up. Vi tells her that she doesn't want to abandon her again as they're talking. The firelights do show up. Jinx opens up fire. The firelights are able to take the Hex Gem and Vi and are able to escape. And that's the end of the episode.
I was trying to figure out in that scene if the firelights were there. Who they were there for. I don't know. They were following Vi earlier, mm-hmm. but then they, like, as soon as they grabbed the hex stone, yep. one of them lit something off.
The black smoke thing?
The black smoke. But then, so I thought, well, maybe they're just there for that. But then they didn't leave right away either, so.
Yeah, they did. The leader told them to grab Vi, but was that just because they knocked her out or were they already planning on grabbing her?
I don't think they were already planning her because they're following her before. And yeah. Also in the scene, Caitlin realizes that Jinx is powder and that's her sister.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a monkey wrench.
And Vi also sees when that she's a little surprised by how little off... off the rocker Jinx can be as soon as she gets a gun in her hand and starts firing.
Yeah, no shit. Cause she was like trying to like, what the hell am I looking at? In which, well, I was just, no, she does hit. Cause she's shooting that machine gun and she shoots. Did Jinx actually kill anybody? Or did all the firelights make it away?
Well, I think they all kind of...
They all got away? I think they all got away.
Because, I mean, I know I remember she stuck the bomb to one of the hoverboards, but then the guy person fell and somebody else picked him up. But so she was definitely trying to kill.
Yeah, but she got away. Yeah, well, one thing to note is that when she was kind of having kind of her emotional ups and downs throughout the ending there, she kept having visions of Milo and Clagger too.
Yeah.
Wrapped around her, which they seem to be her dueling personalities, I guess. I guess that's what that is. I mean, this fucking girl, man, drives me crazy. Like it's, you like her, you, okay. I find her as interesting as, in the same boat as like somebody would find Charles Manson interesting. Like, I guess it's interesting in a psychopathic killer. Like, wow, I can't believe someone's really liked this way. Well, yeah, I know you like. I remember the first time we watched it.
Yeah, like, wow, I really like it. I was gonna say, I noticed in this episode, or when we're doing the rewatch too, I did like her a lot more in the first watch than the second watch.
Yeah.
Not as much. I mean, not that, I don't know, not that any less, but it's kind of like, I guess the first time you see her, you're kind of like intrigued a little bit, but then now you're just like, oh, she's just kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I think, so is the, like, I'm trying to figure out what the fuck people like about her so much. And is it because she says some funny shit and hops around a little bit? Is that why people?
Maybe.
Try to sympathize with her?
What do you call that? What do they call it? A little pixie, white girl syndrome.
Is that what it is? I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a, watching a fucking complete psych. What's it when you hear voices?
Schizophrenic,
psychopathic lunatic that murders people. Like how does she get a pass on everything, but Jace gets the shaft on everything when people try to discuss this shit? I don't get it. What am I missing? You're gonna have to talk me down.
She
here.
Has cool blue hair.
Fucking maybe. I guess. Like, I mean, if we saw, what was the Unabomber? What was his name? What the fuck was that guy's name? So let's say if we saw a video of him as a younger kid and we saw him blow up his dad and his two brothers with a bomb and he was kind of a quirky, funny little kid. Would we have sympathy for that guy for some weird reason? I don't think so. No. And he all of a sudden he blew up the Oklahoma City bombing, the building.
Yeah, but I don't want to say it's, I mean, that's real life. But I mean, this is like video game, aren't you? Isn't the point to kind of blow up people?
Well, this isn't the video game. I mean, the playing a video game, sure. But I mean, I guess I'm talking about motive. I don't understand what people, maybe there's some people can email us and tell me, because I don't get it. I don't get what there is to like about this girl. She is fucking crazy, man. She is, doesn't make any sense. I mean, I guess because her sister, okay. Also, there was people arguing about why should Vi write her off, or does she deserve her sister's love and affection and support?
There's probably, I don't think, I mean, Vi probably, you know, she probably sees her sister and she loves her like normal or, you know, like anyone, but I almost think that with Vi, it's more shame and that she feels responsible for what happened to Jinx more than she really wants to. Like, I mean, like, I think normal, healthy adults with like normal boundaries would be like, okay, maybe this is too much for me and I just have to push you out of my life. But because Vi feels guilty and responsible that this happened to Jinx, that she needs to fix it. So it's more of a Vi thing than it is actually a Jinx thing.
Okay. No, I don't disagree with that. So, I mean, her... I guess if we take out her own personal feelings on the matter, and just because what the fuck were people saying? Like they were saying, I was reading about this thing because it's somebody like basically art, not in quite the most, how do I say this? This guy was basically saying what I was thinking, but just not in the most, the nicest manner. He was just basically fuck Jinx. She doesn't deserve any sympathy from anybody. And I'm like, hell yeah, brother. Like, I agree. And, but like, he was downvoted to hell and everyone's like, she deserves Vi's love. Like, they're sisters. Like, you know, family always comes first and all this other horse shit. And I'm like, dude, the girl has fucking killed your dad. Your brother's killed 8 enforcers. She's murdered 2 of the Firelight people. She fucking is going to try to do some more wacky shit come in the future. What line, what point do you draw the line and be like, this girl needs a bolt in the head. when does it come to that point?
I don't know. Well, I think at this point where we are, Vi is just coming to that realization that maybe Powder did not get better. She got worse. Vi is just realizing these things. They just found out. I think coming up in the next couple of episodes, like I said, it goes into this a little bit more deeper. And I think those answers or those questions will be answered a little bit for you.
I don't think they do.
Because I do, like I said, I do think the next episode kind of goes more into their new relationship, I guess. Question mark.
Yeah. I don't really remember, but I remember what happened at the end. Remember some of the big points, but that's why we're rewatching with the critical eye. So, all right, that's a wrap on this episode. If you have any further questions or want to add to the discussion, please email us at arcanepod@gmail.com. You can fly me. It's like the fucking third time I've said that. You can find me at Flying the Donut on Instagram. You can find Michelle at
Michelle AOERTEL.
Everything will be in the descriptions. Next week, we'll be going in on episode 7. No idea what it's called. We'll find that out next week when we watch this shit. And, you know, I was thinking about, should we do a, I don't know if people make it all the way through to the end like this. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. If we do a, I know a lot. Nah, we'll figure it out next week. Never mind. Fuck all that. All right, thanks. Hold on to that thought. Thanks. Have a good week. Have a good New Year's. Stay safe, and we'll see you next week.